Hello, how are you all today? And I can't tell you how excited I am to get another start here. The reason I'm here is to help the Browns do some things on defense. And the most number one reason that I'm here is my respect for Hugh Jackson, the head coach. I've never had the opportunity to work with Hugh personally on the same team, in the same program, in the same organization, but I've had the opportunity to coach against him and go against him in a lot of different places. You know, this league is kind of a bounce around league a little bit once you get at this level, and you have the opportunity to stay here if you have the opportunity to create production. It's a production business. And also if you can affect change. And Hugh's always been able to do that other places. I have tremendous respect for him as an offensive football coach. I can tell you which offensive football coaches write everything on a chart and call the game on a chart, and I can tell you which offensive football coaches lay it down and said, let's go. Let's come get some. And Hugh's one of them. And Hugh will coach with maybe a defensive mentality and that toughness aspect of it, and I really have respected him because of that. And now because Hugh's invited me and asked me to come around and to get on board here, I'm going to get a chance to learn and see and meet a lot of other different people, you all included. I've been real impressed with the building. I came in here in 2001 with the old regime and interviewed for the head coaching job back then. And I ended up going to the Buffalo Bills at that time. And Butch Davis and I did some things together in training camps. Came down here the first year, and we had training camp out here on the back grass. Next year, he came to Rochester, where our training camp was, and the next year, we met halfway in between. And so I know some things about it. The building really has changed a lot since 2001. One of the things that I've noticed that I want you to understand, and hopefully you all know this better than me, I've been so impressed with the people in the building. And it takes more than just the quarterback. It takes more than just the head coach. It takes more than just the owner. And I don't believe in one voice, but I do believe in one message. And from Mr. Haslam's ownership group to Hugh Jackson's philosophy of how we'll play football, I do believe that having as many voices as possible passing on that one message. I've been very impressed with the people that are leading other departments. And just the style and the attitude and the confidence and some of the things that's up there on the communications and the line of communications that are open between departments. I've been a lot of places, and I've been some where, you know, those communication lines you can't tread over. And I'm about staying in my lane, doing what I have to do to help Hugh on the defensive side of the ball. But I also want to be able to mentor some of the other people in the building. When you've been doing this as long as I've done this, a lot of different aspects of this, I could be doing a lot of other things in life other than coaching, but I love coaching, and I love mentoring young men. I love coaching at this level. I'm happiest during the season. I'm happiest when I'm in the office. I'm happiest of all time when I'm in between the white lines competing. Not very much, you know, you won't ever see me. I'm a beer or two, no tobacco, no prescriptions hardly at all. But I don't mind saying this. I'm a competition-aholic, and it'll be from practice to meetings to games. Love to compete. And there's a lot of things here that we've got to stir the emotions and stir the culture on being more competitive. And then once we're more competitive, maybe we're lucky enough to be in a position to win. But we have to be able to compete first and compete at a certain level first to be lucky enough to be in a position to win. And then I think Hugh has some great things that I've had to go against that have been frustrating, you know, to a defensive coach, that he knows how to win with that offense. And I think defensively I've been in some situations and some places where we've been able to do that and be a compatible coaching style. And then working the special teams in too. I think Chris is one of the better special teams coaches in the league, and it's going to be exciting to get a chance to work together. Now, also, we have to hit the ground running. And I'm a time manager, pretty organized person. People have said borderline OCD. I'm not OCD. I'm just organized, okay? Is that I think it's great that we're going to get a chance to go to the Senior Bowl and coach next week. Had to put a staff together, had to hit the ground running, had to get organized, all on the same page to go down there and do that. This is going to be a good thing for Hugh and I to get a feel for coaching with each other. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to get on the field with him and coach with him because, you know, we've stared at each other across the sidelines and done some signals across the sidelines you don't want to put on TV. You know, we've had those words and those hand signals and that body language going. And so we get a chance to get a feel for each other and have some fun down there. But more importantly, you know, as we continue to evaluate people to improve the organization, you know, scouting is one thing that is a huge part of what we do. Until you put your hands on a guy, until you get a chance to be on the field, on the grass, inside the white lines, in the meetings and all that stuff, you can guess and speculate all you want on whether a guy can play at this level or not. And then you can guess and speculate whether the guy is willing to leave the area he just did at the college football level and reprove himself here. And if you're not willing to reprove yourself every single day, always love Jerry Glanville's line of NFL, not for long. You know, somebody else is waiting to sit in your seat. And I tell the players, and we tell the players every year that, you know, when we start training camp with 90 players on all 32 teams, and we cut down to 53 to start the season, there's 1,184 players on the streets right now wanting your chair. And I can't tell me how many coaches you guys think you can coach. You guys are out there talking all the time, waiting to sit in my chair. Okay? Come get some. Come on in there. Sit down in there. We'll see how much you can hold their attention and see how you can affect production and set body language and all the other things. But there's somebody wanting that opportunity to play and to be in our sport in the highest in the world. That's what keeps me going. People ask me all the time is, how long will you do this? And I'll keep on doing it when I can walk in the room and I know they listen to me. I can walk on the field and I know they'll listen to me. And I think you guys will find out really quick I don't have too bad a problem on getting people to listen to me. Okay, I can get people to listen to me. And now can we get them to play and get them to do right? I'm looking forward to the opportunity. I'm looking forward to the challenge. And hopefully looking forward to helping and providing help for you guys too. Because we're all in this for the right things, the right ways. People read what you have to do because they love the sport. They love the National Football League. They love the Cleveland Browns. My last thing before I open it up is that back a long time ago in the late 80s and early 90s when I got in the league, I've been hit by, from the dog pound, transistor batteries, size D and C batteries, dog biscuits, dog bones, beer cans, beer bottles, and I can't wait to be on their side now. And I say that with respect. I love them. I love the fact when I'd come into the stadiums about how loud they were and how much fun they had coming to the games and how much they loved the Cleveland Browns. If we want to have, when we have, a home field advantage is because we can flat play some defense. And everybody came to watch that defense rock and roll. You have a home field advantage when your defense is dominant. Because when the offense is out there, Hugh's going to tell all you people in here to shut up. People want, you know, offensively, you want that communication going on, be it verbal and being everything to be on the same page. And smart crowds, home crowds, get that and allow the offense to operate and cheer when they operate at a high level. But defensively, I don't care if they ever are quiet. And I've been in stadiums and coached on teams when we were so good on defense that the coach to the middle linebacker communication did not work. And I have assistants that have to signal the plays in because you'll see this. When the Mike linebacker touches his face mask, he can't hear because the crowd's so loud. He can't hear, so we have to hand signal the play in. That's what we want here. And I can't wait to hang out and be with the dog pound. And a lot of them reached out already, and I promise I'll reach out to them too when we trot on the field and have a chance to play here. Questions?
Greg, you sound like a straight shooter, so let's cut to the chase. How have you changed since the suspension?
And we're not here to talk about that. Are you Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not here to talk about that. What else you want to talk about? Is there a quote out there of me ever talking about it? So you want to be the first guy that has a quote?
I found quotes from you about it.
Use that one then. What else?
How would you describe your defense?
You know, what we're going to do defensively is we're going to do defensively what the Cleveland Browns have athletically, strength-wise. I would say this. You know, I was a quarterback a long time ago, couldn't play at this level. Been an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, head coach. Belichick and I are the only ones that have done that all these years. But we are going to play defense as much as we can in an attacking way of playing defense, as much as we can to have the offense react off of us. There's kind of a misnomer out there of where the defense has to wait to the offense to move to decide how we're going to keep them surrounded and don't let them go by us. And I learned from some really good people a long time ago when I moved from offense to defense is that I'd rather the offense have to try to defend themselves and have to take a look on what we're doing first. And there'll be a check system. You'll see the players will have a lot of say on how we play once we teach them what they can and can't check to, once we teach them their say. But you all will see that empowerment is powerful. And, you know, a long time ago, maybe when I was a lot younger, whoever talked the loudest was the smartest in the room. And that how can I get these guys to believe it's their idea when it was my idea anyway? And now let's go cut it loose. And you'll see that. And the players will have a say in some of the things we do. We'll teach the players, depending upon what the position, to have a tool pouch, a toolbox. And there'll be tools in the toolbox that actually accentuates their strength and hides their weaknesses. And that's easy to say. But I'm not going to box them into a certain kind of defense, and I'm not going to box them into a certain way they have to play. Now, what I am going to box them into is their effort and their toughness. I'm going to box them into that. And if it doesn't fit into the formula that Hugh and I have talked about this for quite a while, and if it doesn't fit into the AFC North mentality of how you have to play with effort and toughness, there's a lot of different sizes and weights of athletes and a lot of different positions and a lot of different schemes. But I'm not going to compromise on that. And I have Mr. Haslam's backing on that, and I have our head coach's backing on that. And when you guys are able to come out, I don't know the policies yet on our OTAs and spring practices and everything. You know, I hope you'll be able to be visibly see some of that stuff taking place. And, you know, as you talk around some of the other players that have been other places and are retired now, it's same as when we go in place to place. But I will formulate towards the strength here. You know, one of the things, and I was talking to Peter a little bit about it, and, you know, I didn't know this until one of the clubs put this out there, but I've been able to be fortunate to be the only defensive coordinator in the history of the National Football League to go to five or more places with five or more coaching staffs, with five or more groups of players, with five or more styles, completely schematically different kinds of defense, but be top five in defense down to number one. Why is that? Semi-smart, but also, why would I ask you to play what she plays? And why would I ask you to play what he plays? And why would I ask you to play, you know, I'll keep it all straight, but how did I make it simple for you? And also accentuate your streaks, but hide your weaknesses. I got weaknesses too. We all have warts. You just don't see it right now. And that's what we have to do in a ball game. And you'll see that in a ball game. I think Bill does that, you know, Coach Belichick, I'm sorry, you know, he and I are friends, is that I think he does a great job of that in the game too. You know, when we have a corner go down, we have a backer go down, we have a DN go down, the next guy up, and we have a next man up philosophy, we have a philosophy that we go by, is that why would I think about coaching that guy that has different measurables? that has different strength. Why wouldn't I change the coverage when this corner doesn't run as well or long or ling? Why wouldn't I change to fit the corner scheme? And so the flexibility of what we do and the ability for me to keep it all straight is helps the player. And then I want the player not to have to overthink. You know, we as coaches and you guys too, sometimes we want to stay in charge by talking too much or maybe acting like we know a terminology that football is football to football. You know what? When the ball is snapped, it's fine ball, see ball, get ball on defense. What? It's fine ball, see ball, get ball. And how do I help them understand that? And then here's the other thing, and you can throw this back at me as much as you want. If the ball goes over our head in a hurry, I don't care who's coaching or playing. They don't get to do it. So we've got to, in this wild throwing league, limit the balls that go over our head in a hurry. Okay? And then if it does, can we get them down and play goal line defense? Can we get them down and play red zone defense? Can we get them down and have one more snap? Because one more snap may turn it our way. So those are the things you'll see us getting with. And I've been with some pretty good guys before and have kind of pieced together what would be called the Greg Williams coaching tree and the Greg Williams style of defense. And if you're not in the family of really of going through all this different stuff with me, then there's a learning curve for you as a coach too. And we want to hit the ground running here. You know, one of the questions you guys may come up with is that, the staff and the changes. Hugh and I did this together. Hugh had thoughts on what he wanted with the staff. And so the new staff members that I brought in here, Hugh interviewed and Hugh made the decision. And I've coached with a lot of different coaches. I just told you a lot of different staffs that I've gone places by myself before. But he believed, and I believe too, is that the familiarity with some of these people that have come in here too with me, some of them played for me, some of them have coached for me other places and been with me or thing. The learning curve for them is brief, and some of them is just a reminder. And they say, I forgot Greg acted that way. Yeah, I still act that way. We're still going to do this. So that helps, too, hopefully, hit the ground running when the players get back in here.
Two questions. One's real quick. 4-3 based?
Thank you for asking that. Nope. Cleveland based. And the reason being is this, and I will tell you the answer, Pat, is this. I have 42 words that add up to the 11 that trot out on the field. And you guys that have studied me a long time before is that we'll play 4-3 and 3-4 in the same game. 3-3, 3-2, 4-1, 4-2, bear, big on five down, big on six down, big on more linebackers, little on more DBs. And I have 42 packages of defense. Now, everywhere I go, I don't do them all. But what it is coaches sit in a room, and we waste so much time figuring out what the word is. I've got the words already. I've been doing it for so long. So, boom, this 11 guys trot out there. Boom, this 11 guys trot out there. And then what you all will see is how much we play those types of scheme or packages is based on the AFC North. It's based on what the offenses are pulling out there and we have to play defense on. And I'm also not afraid to make sure all the other people have to work against a lot of things I'm never going to call. But I got to practice all week long, 4-3, 3-4, 2-2, all that kind of stuff, and I'm not even going to do it next week. So that's okay too.
The word that's associated with you a lot is attitude. He's going to bring an attitude. What does that mean and how is that exemplified on the field?
What I would say this is that in order to be in this business at this level, if you can't affect change, you don't belong at this level. And change can be lots of different ways of change. It can be good, it can be tough, it can be nice, it can be smiling, but you got to affect change. Mental toughness precedes physical toughness. So when we talk about attitude, it's mental before physical. And then how we go about exuding body language. You know, I'm studying every one of you all. Some of you slumped. You won't slump in my meeting room. You're going to have your feet flat the first day. We're going to talk about how you sit in your chair. when I walk in the room and how you focus and pay attention. You know, ADHD has been there for a long time. I've been coaching guys like that way before they medicated them. I'm going to medicate them and get them to understand to pay attention. So from an attitude standpoint is how do we all believe the same way, do the same things, and then in this game that's a contact game, from an attitude standpoint, they're never going to play for anybody that's going to let them play more attacking, more physical, more aggressive than me. I'll back them up. I've only coached two or three guys in the league that I've ever had to put my hand on and back up. I've been using my whole life. I've been trying to speed up your decisions and speed up your toughness and get you to play harder, get you to play tougher, get you to play meaner. And so that will be the way. And then when we're talking about defending every blade of grass, not every yard on the field. And how do we get that? So it starts in the room. We'll talk a lot in the room and we'll do a lot on the field. And then we'll see them have a chance to exude and have fun playing. You all will you'll get a chance to capture and see their enjoyment of playing this game that they've been playing since Little League, some of them. Some of them since only high school, and a few of them, you know, get flipped over later in life. But I want them to have fun doing that. But that fun will only happen when they to understand that this is team and we're all in this together. There's no individuals, and I'm not going to put up very much with guys that don't get the fact of we got to play as a team.
How do you make the team, your players, tackle better? Because now, historically, these guys have not been very good tacklers.
And, you know, and two- or three-fold answer. When you go back and take a look at, you know, our game that starts now down from little leagues to high school to college, the spread open type things and the space play, and tackling's not very good from the time mom and dad all of a sudden thought they were coaching them. Okay, it hasn't been. And what we'll do is that I think what you'll see, and I don't want to overstate some things right now. Everywhere I've been, we've been very, if not the best, in the top two or three tackling teams in the league because we measure yak, and it's not yards after catch. We measure yards after contact, and we measure blades of grass after contact. And what we try to do is that, you know, I'm not going to hide behind the T word. What we do is we tackle every day. And just because the rules have changed in our league on how many padded practices we have, the way we practice in training camp, people want to complain that, you know, you can't be tough anymore because we can't have 3 days full contact. Are you kidding me? When I played, it was 3 days full contact. You know, fatigue is directly related to injuries, especially ACL ruptures and Achilles tendon ruptures. For, you know, I was at Buffalo. I was one of the first guys in the National Football League was only going to one contact practice a day and then doing the walk. I was doing that a long time ago. If our off-season program's any good, why aren't we in shape when we come to training camp? For what reason? Why aren't we? So what we'll do is that when Coach Jackson has us in helmets, whether it's just jerseys, we're tackling. And then we're going to populate the ball, and that missed tackles come from coaches allowing other guys to loaf, coaches allowing other guys to play a gap, play fictitious, stupid plays that don't exist. We are find ball, see ball, get ball. And if you aren't around the ball when it's over with and we're in our end zone shot, you're probably moving into the broadcast booth, moving into the beer vendor's booth, moving into helping the guy hold the down markers on the sideline. And I've already talked with Hugh and Mr. Haslam. I can't cut them. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to decide who plays on defense. And when I'm not doing that, Tony's coaching them.
Greg, can you address what do you feel you've inherited on defense in terms of talent? You know, what are you finding as you're going through the film? How important to try to re-sign a Jamie Collins, and what will your involvement be in?
Great questions.
The Miles Garrett's.
I've hit the ground running. I got here. I don't know what day is this. This is Thursday. I hit the ground last Wednesday night late, and so my first day in the office was last Thursday, and we've been doing the staff and hiring the staff, and then really pouring everything into the Senior Bowl. And the book's done, the practice schedules, again, I'm not OCD, but everything's done on that, and now I get a chance to start going back and doing the evaluation on the players. Before I went down and spoke with Mr. Haslam and Hugh about coming here, because I wanted to talk to them both at the same time, so there was, you know, the lines of communication, there wasn't any misfits in the communication right there, that we all were on the same page, is I watched five or six games before I got on the plane, went and talked to them. So I've got a little bit of a background with those guys, but not enough to really know yet until I spend more time with them. And then, in all honesty, I may not watch another clip, and I don't care. And until I get a chance to be in the meeting room with them, talk, move around, get on the field with them, that's when the true evaluation would be. And one of the things, it's Mary, right?
Mary Kay.
But one of the things is that I've never complained to one head coach, to one owner, to one GM about a guy I get to coach. Never. Now, don't get offended on how I have to coach him. Don't, you know, all of a sudden I've got to find a way to get him to work. And if he got in the door at this level, he has a skill set. You know, what we as coaches, and I'm serious about this, I don't want it to appear real bad yet, is I can only affect what mom and dad gave him in a gene pool about that much. And how I do that is not accept what mom and dad says has been all right their whole life. I got to butt their head up against the cap of what the genes say that they can do and can't do. And how to simplify their world. And how do we go about doing things? And how we go about doing things here. So I look forward to those guys. There are lots of guys, I'm going to say, there are several guys on this defensive roster that I wanted to draft. Several. And I don't know whether I'm going to like them. I don't know whether they're going to like me. I think they will, you know, and I really do. I care about every one of those guys. You know, I get 200 or 300 calls on Father's Day every year from former players and, you know, that didn't, you know, maybe struggle in life with parental advice and stuff. And then once we have a relationship for life. And, you know, I really do care a lot about them. And I do care a lot about how they build their resume and how they go about getting a chance to play at this level, because it's so hard to play at this level. But, you know, I've had so many people ask me before, is how come that Heisman Trophy winner didn't make it at this level? How come that guy, you know, all SEC, all this, and didn't make it this level? How come they didn't? And you know what? Even in your own room, even in your own field, you know, when you guys stop trying to reprove yourself every day, they're going to find somebody else sitting in your chair too, at that company you work for. And that sometimes, especially in this entitlement phase millennium, and some of the millennials, they've been enabled their whole life so far. And all of a sudden, they really don't understand what it is to pay the price, to do the things that the way it has to do at the highest level to do it. And so, you know, when it becomes their idea to do it this certain way, it's amazing how successful they can be and how good they can be. And I just want to help them. I really do. And I'm addicted every day to coming in to seeing if there's a way that we can get better today. I think I'm hoping that you see when Hugh and I practice against each other, me and him, but our teams, you know, we're going to have fun competing in practice. And you're gonna watch practice, and unless he backs us off, because I'm not backing our guys off, unless he backs us off, it's gonna be, holy cow, you know. But we got to protect each other too. It's not slamming guys to the ground and cutting guys and, you know, flipping guys and doing all that kind of stuff. But we got to practice fast, and we got to practice tough, and we got to compete. And then when you get on game day, it slows down, or maybe it doesn't slow down, but it's not as shocking. And that's what some of these guys do. They always say, oh, and they can't keep up. And if you can't keep up, then they become a fat-ass coach.
Greg, have you ever been on of staff that coached in the Senior Bowl?
And never.
Never?
This is my first time. And, you know, in one of the years a long time ago, my goal was never to have to do this. But it now I'm serious about this, and I talked to Mr. Haslam and Hugh about this when I came down and talked to them, was that I'm excited because I've researched how many picks we have, cap space, all that kind of stuff. And so it's important to get a feel for them. And if they're going to ask me my opinion of a guy, then I've got to put my hands on them. So this is really cool. And you know what? Once I put my hands on those guys, I'm not going to watch any of their college film. I don't need to, okay? I've had a chance to, you know, Nick Saban and I are really good friends. You know, several guys on the Clemson defensive staff and I are really good friends. All of those guys, we've been in as long as I've been, I got a lot of guys coaching college football that played for me too. I don't need to watch them once I get a chance to coach them. So this is fun. I'm really looking forward to getting some evaluation on these guys. And every day's an interview, we'll see how well they interview.
Two guys already on the Browns roster that you really just can't wait to get your hands on?
You know, there's really none of them that I can't wait, all of them. There's been several guys that have stopped by already, and I told them I wouldn't tell you who they are. But, you know, and several guys have. There's been several guys that have called. But one of the things that I've done with all of them is, who do you know on a team that I've recently coached? Call. Talk. Get a scouting report on me. Find out. The more you know, the less that we have to get clear when we get here. And some of them have done it already, and they have already started talking to me or texting me about some of the funny things that have happened, some of the real fun. But they've all said, we understand, Coach, about when we start OTAs, about coming there with the mindset and coming there with being in shape, and don't think we're going to get in shape at the end of off season. We better come to off season in shape. And so it's been fun to see that. And the best form of advertisement is the people you're around all the time. You know, I love those players I just left at the Rams. I really do. You know, and I feel for their hearts. We were pretty good on defense. Well, but people don't realize that we dressed, everybody said that roster was so great. We dressed on defense, 8 undrafted free agents, 4 more that were in the 6th and 7th round. We had a few guys up front out of the first round. But we had one first rounder that Coach Belichick said you didn't want him anymore, you know. And it's funny to see that, you know, when we did all the background on that. And as you guys, the background told us totally different on what kind of a person he was. And he's one of my favorite guys I've ever had a chance to coach. And why? Because he can defend himself in a verbal argument, you know, and he has fun teasing, but he can flat play too. So I miss those guys already, and they're all over me right now because I'm not back. But that's just part of this business, but they'll be in my family for life.
Hey, Greg, when Hugh hired you, we talked to him, and he said he needed growth on defense as fast as he could get it. So how realistic do you think that is to have a quick, significant turnaround?
You know, and again, I don't want to predict something that I can't come up with, but until I get a chance on the field, you know, I would hope that we can improve. You know, I've gone places where they were number 32 on defense and gone to number 2 in a year. But then there may not be that here. You know, and the other thing, too, is you have to hopefully the teams we play cooperate too and lay down a little bit. I don't know. You know, so we're going to play against some of these offenses that are way out there in advancement of the ball. You know, here's another thing. Hugh and I have to play a complementary style. Sean Payton and I really, really, really love coaching with him. And not only is my style of defense had to change drastically there, because the worst thing I could do is have Drew Brees standing over on the sideline getting his arm cold. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Get that son of a gun back out there as fast as possible. And then there's times when, you know, in the Super Bowl, when we won the Super Bowl, we had to make sure Peyton was standing on the other sideline for as long as possible and reduce it down to a 10-possession game. Or a 9-possession game. So we have to complement that. If we're not a flamboyant, offense scoring tons of points, then we got to play great against the run, and we got to minimize possessions, and we got to run the clock. And I learned how to run the clock on defense a long time ago and still not give up points, and how you do those types of things. So Hugh and I have got to be on the same page with Chris also, because when that offense and defense is playing complementary, the special teams is not a commercial. You know, every single special teams play, let me take this back, every single defensive possession starts and ends with a special teams play. All the majority of the guys on defense are involved in the special teams. I loved coaching special teams when I was coaching special teams in the National Football League. And then for 17 years, I was a special teams assistant. Even when I was a head coach and when I was a coordinator on defense, I still coached in the special teams. Chris may not want me around here. I don't know. We'll see. But we all got to be on the same page. And then the impact that way will reflect what you all think is important on ranking, which I really don't care about, but it is what it is.
Just with the way, you know, with the way that you talk and your passion and your, you know, your fiery and all of that. And
are you a body language expert?
And, you know, with your credentials and your experience and your background, just curious, why haven't you gotten more attention as a head coach, and do you aspire to be one, or are you happy being a
great
defensive
question.
Coordinator?
And I'll share this with you, and I really don't want to talk a whole lot about this, you know, from now on. I've had 11 head coaching slips put in for me since I left the Buffalo Bills. I've had 4 jobs where I didn't have to go interview. I'm not going to tell you which ones they were. The contract was done to show up and take it. But I'm not going to do that unless it's programmed correct. I love what I do, and I know what I can help an organization at. But there has to be structure built in to being successful head coaches in this league. The average career of an NFL player is 3.2 years. The average career of an NFL head coach in the last 19 years is 2.3. Just flip the numbers. Wait a minute. You've had 9 head coaches at one of these clubs right now in the last 14 years. At what point in time are you going to say it's not coaching anymore? Maybe it's everybody else involved in the organization, but it's not coaching. So in that situation, I've walked away from head coaching jobs. Now, do I want to do it again if it's right? But it's not something that really it's not something that I push myself to. And I'm saying that realistic. I want you all to feel that when you come to practices and the games. I'm here because I respect Hugh Jackson. I really do, and I think it's going to be fun in that respect. And I am so also on a checklist. I have loved the dog pound for so many years of coming and coaching against it. I think it's going to be good to be a part of it. I think it's going to be kind of fine. I don't. Another thing too, you all, I don't know social media, Facebook. You won't find me on. You really hardly won't even find me out there. You know, with my kids and wife and everything too. I like the privacy of who I am because I'm in front of so many people all the time. But this will be fun in that respect. The other thing, I know a couple of people out here baseball-wise, and I told Peter this, that, you know, my father-in-law is Mike Shannon, you know, from the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, I think he's starting his 60th or 61st year. I don't know how many years, but I enjoy baseball, basketball, football. Last year, LeBron signed a jersey for my foundation for kids that brought $25,000. I can't wait to high-five him that, you know, because I have the Greg Williams Foundation that supports anything to do with a child back in that little bitty country hometown that I grew up in Missouri. And every year I go back for a week's worth of events to raise money for those kids, from academics to athletics to facilities to whatever, you know, whatever I need to do to help a child in that town. So it was fun for, you know, how about, you know, Cleveland winning it, and I timed it right with LeBron signing a jersey, and somebody was stupid enough to pay $25,000 to help those kids back in that town. All right, so outside of coaching, outside of my 9 children, I don't do anything else, okay? And I'm looking forward to getting started here. You want one more?
Would it be a shock to your player systems working for you as opposed to previous coaches they've had?
First off, it won't be working for, it'll be working with. it'll be working with. And I don't know. You know, some of them have been around some really good coaches. There were some really good coaches here last year. I'm telling you that. They're really good coaches here. And again, we want to blame coaches because mom and dad's gene pool. What's the deal? You know, what is the deal on that? So some of them have been involved in some great college programs. The thing with me is that I want them to feel like we're working together to get the maximum out of him and me. And I don't want any of them to feel like I won't adapt to help them be good. But I'm telling you right now, and them, I will not compromise on their effort and their toughness. People will talk all, everywhere I go and coach, they say, look how fast those guys play. Some of it's not raw speed, it's effort. You know, it's just effort. You know, it is what it is on their speed, but they don't loaf. They don't take plays off. So that's the hard part of them adjusting to me. That's the hard part. Anything?
I want to go back full circle, because quite frankly, if you did talk about it for the first time today, it would be kind of nice. Is there anything you want to share about the suspension experience, what it was like, what you went through, and what you learned from?
No, you know, Roger and I are very close on the whole thing, in all honesty. He and I go back to the 80s together, and there was enough written on it back then, and doesn't need to be. It's no part of the dog pound. No part.
One question about, it's hard to evaluate quarterbacks coming out of college now because of all the spread. How does that change how you scout defenses, if at all?
It does change. You know, and it oh yeah, oh yeah, it's hard. You know, you love to get against, you know, take a look at those when you're on offense, take a look at those Wisconsin offensive linemen and Stanford that still will play, you know, some of those teams that will play the NFL offenses of downhill running and stuff. But defensively, some of these guys, you know, haven't had the opportunity to have some of the gang blocking schemes they have on them, some of the physical downhill type movements on them up on the front on the line of scrimmage. You know, one of the things that you'll see me do, and you guys can do it too, is, you know, every practice, once we start competing, you'll see me stand at the line of scrimmage. You know, I can look out there at Tony, but I can see everybody else in the room, and I can see your body language, and I don't know why. I can just do that. But how do you change the line of scrimmage? And if you can't change the line of scrimmage, you're going to have a tough time playing offense or defense if you can't do that. It's that simple. And take a look at all the sideways teams in college football now. All the sideways teams in high school football now, you know, and we've got to get them going that direction. Hugh wants them going the other direction. I can't walk down the hallway right now that Hugh's not trying to stir me up, trying to, you know, he'll say something and I'll say something. We've been leaving notes on each other's chairs about, you know, can't wait for this, can't wait for that, and talk is cheap, Hugh. Let's go, you know. So we're, it is fun. And you, when I'm telling you this, I'm not, this is who I am now. This is a fun thing. This job is hard. And if you can't laugh, if you can't have some fun in all this other preparation, you know what? There's going to be some long faces after a loss. I told Hugh and I told Mr. Haslam when I came to talk to him that one, just one more reason about why I would come and talk to him was I watched every one of Hugh's post-game interviews all 16 weeks this year. I went back and watched it before I got on the plane. I have even more respect. I hope you do. It ain't easy. It ain't easy standing up there talking to you so you can spread the word. When you pour every single ounce that you have into a week, and now you get out there in those 3 hours and it doesn't come out the way you want it to come out. And now you're getting ready to lead those young men again next week. It's not easy. And how he stood up and what he did meant a lot to me. And again, I want to evaluate people under stress, not underneath good times. We can all fake. We're all con artists and that. Every one of you, every one of me too. We can fake that. But under bad times, under tough times, 2012, who was I? What did I do? And then who am I now? You judge that. That's fine. You judge that. What else?
Good.
And again, seriously, hope everything goes well. You know, a lot of those people out there in L.A. that I was with, you know, I said, unfortunately, I got to leave. Maybe our paths will cross again. I'm looking forward to working with you as much as I can, however I can. One of the things I've talked to Peter already, and he's irritated at me, is I don't do individual stuff, okay? So what I do is I try to do everything together. But, you know, I'm never going to be a source. You don't have to worry about calling me. And I'm never going to be that kind of stuff, is that we're just going to do things together and be upfront and honest. And when you ask me something that I don't like, I'll tell you. And if I say something you don't like, you tell me. That's okay. You're not going to hurt my feelings. And I also told Peter that I've got enough friends in life. If I want another friend, I'll go buy a Labrador. All right, thanks.